Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at another exciting episode here at Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments. I also want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and for blessing me. I want to thank my church family yesterday for inviting me to go skating. And it was interesting because I went skating after not skating in over 30 years. I was scared to go bust my butt, but I do have to say that I didn't fall not one time. So let's get started with the show. Today's show has to do with understanding the process of recovery. Now, last week, we had a very interesting topic as it relates it to how to become sober. Because a lot of individuals, once they decide to take that step towards recovery, many individuals don't know what to do after that. So today we're going to be talking about the different types of treatment. So let me join my first caller here on the line, because I need to make sure that they can hear me too. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
We have time right here.
Okay. I can barely hear.
I thought I called and listened.
So you want to be in listen mode? Okay.
Yeah, I thought I just called and listened. I didn't know I was going to have to be on there talking about getting sober and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know what? We know you're an expert, and I'm already running around here like a chick with my head cut off because the paperwork that I had earlier I can't find. And they say, well, you know better, you do better. So I guess I'm going to say I ain't going to never know better because I'm working on doing better, but that's okay. But you can listen, you can jump in, you can talk whenever you want to talk. That's fine, okay?
Okay.
But you know what? Cut
but,
down on the background
this?
Noise. I can hear you, but I can also hear your background noise.
Oh, just a second, please. Can I say this?
Yes,
you've
may.
Never had a problem. You've never had a problem with any kind of substance abuse that I know of.
No, I haven't. You're absolutely right.
Oh,
and
you better not never have.
Yes, Daddy.
Okay. Thank you, my baby. Thank you, because you know your little song I just wrote you. But now, I thought I was just going to be listening.
You can just listen.
Talking
you know,
on the radio.
You can listen if you want to. But you know, it's funny because when you said that that song, I had never heard me. I didn't know I had to ask that question, but I appreciate you sharing that information. And it's interesting
right.
because even with me, and I tell my clients, as me being the owner of the Center for the Treatment of Addiction located in Orange County, a lot of individuals say, well, Jeanette, how did you go into this field? And I told them it was purely an accident. When I tell them about me throwing onions and grapefruits at crackheads and me pouring out my
right.
mother's alcohol and I couldn't stand drugs when I was growing up, they say what you hate, you create. And I had a strong dislike just growing up in Compton and seeing the things that I saw. And I don't know of any treatment facilities or places to go where people would go get help. I remember the winos on the corner and 133rd. And, you know, Gene used to tell me not to talk to the winos and I don't speak to strangers. I would ask them their name and I would say, well, Mom, he's not a stranger. His name is so-and-so. And, you know, I was
right.
always friendly with the winos. They was my friends.
Yeah, because really most of the winos on the corner was rehabilitated eyes with me. I'd try to, you know, rehabilitate them because we'd be right there together.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I say, you carry on with the show and your father loves you, but I just wanted to listen.
Okay, no problem. You could just
so
listen.
So what number do I call to listen?
You can
you dial me off. Yeah, okay, babe.
You dial
but
the
daddy
right
loves
number.
You.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll put you on mute so you can just listen in mute mode, and then I don't know, I won't be able to hear if you have something to say, but that's fine. So, okay, so let me get started with the show because I'm waiting on the other people to call since they wanted me to do a follow-up.
Right, right.
So I want
right.
to talk about, like I said, understanding the process of recovery. Now, when we start talking about understanding addiction and addiction treatment programs, a lot of questions come to mind. Because first of all, addiction is a chronic and debilitating condition. And with that being said, many individuals who struggle with addiction often need treatment to get sober, become sober, and stay sober. But a lot of times individuals are afraid of rehab, and I don't want to start singing the song that Amy Winehouse was singing in regards to No More Rehab, and right after that she wind up dying. But rehabilitation facilities offer treatment in different settings for various lengths of time based on the need of individuals. So that's why it's very important that once you've decided to take that step, you also make sure that you find the right facility that is going to be good for you to meet your needs and help to be able to accommodate you. Now, rehab facilities can provide help, safety, and support that is needed for individuals to recover from an addiction. Because as we know, individuals who struggle may be concerned about what to expect from rehab and what treatment is like and the length of time and how long it's going to last. And a lot of times we get, and I know myself, I get bombarded with a lot of questions from individuals. And I know a lot of times it's basically fear-based. Sometimes individuals are told that they need to get treatment for different reasons. And even as my father was on the phone talking to me and was like, well, I ain't never known you'd have no problem with drugs or alcohol, which I never have. But by that same token, I could truly say that people taught me very well. They made me realize what I didn't want to do. And I guess I used to say that was God's way of punishing me because I was doing the things that I was doing and the way I was with in regards to addiction. Now, Fred, look like you just flaked out on me. Fred just basically said, unfortunately, not. I'm sick right now and in the middle of a few. Okay, Fred, you know, flaked out on me, but that's okay. Love you anyway. But I was so afraid. Like I said, it made me not want to drink or use any type of drugs. I used to tell individuals, I would have them laughing. I used to tell them that I eat too much to smoke some weed. So if I smoke some marijuana, I probably would weigh 400 pounds. I was violent, so I've never seen a drunk want to fight, so I didn't want to be drunk and have somebody bust me upside the head. I'm already running around like a chick with my head cut off, so when it comes to methamphetamine, I don't need to be tweaking when I'm tweaking all the time anyway. I can go to sleep whenever I want, so I don't need no heroin or no opiates because that wouldn't go help me, and plus I'm scared of needles. So I had my reasons of why I didn't do what I did, but I want to say that doesn't mean that individuals are bad people because we learn to separate who a person is from what a person do. So this show is designed not to beat people down, but to try to lead people in the right direction. Is that's basically what we're going to talk about. Now, when we talk about, as I talked about how when we addiction is when someone uses despite the consequences. Last week, we kind of talked about the difference between what is abuse versus what is addiction, meaning that a lot of individuals abuse but are afraid and don't understand what addiction is, where most individuals that have an addiction and they start going through the process of, you know, building up a tolerance and going through the withdrawal symptoms and learning about the DTs when you're talking about alcohol and things of that nature, they kind of know that they've abused the substance, where the person that is actually abusing are kind of clueless, and they can be in denial about their use. Now, when we start talking about rehabs and rehab facilities, it's very interesting because that's that kind of let me reach out and let me get some help. Now, I'm kind of frustrated with myself because I had a lot of stuff written down for the life of me when I was trying to do the doggone FaceTime. I lost my paper in this room, and I'm turning around trying to find it and don't know where the heck I put it. So what is an addiction rehab facility? Rehab facilities are designed, like I said, to help individuals who suffer from addiction cleanse their body of the addictive substances. Not only as they learn to cleanse their body, they learn how to manage the addiction and maintain sobriety. We have different types of treatment. We're going to be talking about how individuals, the lower level, meaning the AA, NA meetings, what the 12 steps meetings are about. Then you got the outpatient services. Then you got intensive outpatient services. Some individuals can go into a residential facility. The length of time can be determined based on a lot of different factors. We're going to be talking about detox facilities, whether it is a social model detox or whether it is a medical model detox and what is the difference. Now, when we start talking about whether it's inpatient rehab facilities, most inpatient rehab facilities are typically short-term residential treatment facilities. These facilities can provide constant care to individuals that are trying to get sober. But what I want to say is a lot of times when individuals enter into these rehab facilities, even detox facilities, they're so afraid that their chances of relapsing is very high. And it's very high because they don't know what to expect. They don't like being told what to do. And they're dealing with a lot of other worries, anxiety, concerns. Sometimes individuals can have what's called a co-occurring disorder, meaning that in addition to having a substance abuse problem, they may be suffering with depression, anxiety, or some other type of mental health related issue, which is co-occurring, meaning two or more things going on at one time. And then they have to try to determine, are we going to treat the mental health issue or are we going to treat the substance abuse issue? And sometimes they try to treat both at the same time because, as many may not be aware of, some individuals may self-medicate and not even be aware that they're treating themselves with street drugs where they could be taking just medication or some type of psychotropic medication. And in some cases, individuals will abuse the psychotropic medication. Now, I want to say from my professional experiences, treating an individual who has an addiction to alcohol can be very complicated. A lot of times we kind of choose our poison or we try to say, well, my habit is not as bad as your habit. At least I don't do heroin, or at least, you know, I don't have a needle in my arm or whatever, you know, things of that nature. But what people fail to realize is even though or although alcohol seems to be one of those substances that people find excuses, they justify, they drink at weddings, they drink at funerals, they drink at parties, they always find a reason to celebrate. And to this day, I still don't understand what's so happy about happy hours except for the chicken wings being half price. Because alcohol is one of those things or one of those substances that basically kill you slowly because it eats you up from the inside out. Individuals start having, they can have seizure disorders, they can develop a psychosis, and I tell people all the time, when individuals think that a person going through the body cleansing from heroin, they think they feel like they're going to die or feel like a fish out of water, some individuals will die when they're going through the withdrawal symptoms from alcohol. Alcohol is no joke, and it's something that people should not play with, but yet it is, I would say, a substance that is highly abused, even though we are seeing a rise when it comes to opiate addiction. And that's why the treatment facilities and understanding this process can be so complicated, because you need to find out what is the right treatment for you. So a lot of times when I get these phone calls from individuals wanting to know if I work with individuals that have alcohol-related illnesses or suffer from alcohol addiction, that one is complicated because it's easy to hide. And I tell people I have a big nose, so I can smell everything. So if they come in my office smelling like alcohol, they'll try to deny it, but I can smell it coming out of their pores. But it's very difficult to treat, in my opinion, in an outpatient setting. And that is because they could sit there with you, talk to you, everything is going great, but unless you can tell from their mannerism, their slurred speech, their gait, sometimes it's very hard to determine if they're under the influence of alcohol because they try to cover it up and mask it and hide it. Because what happens is with alcohol, individuals stop drinking to get drunk. They start drinking to not be sick. And in some cases, you got to be careful because you don't want that person. I tell them, you're not going to die on my watch. Now, getting back to what I was saying in regards to inpatient rehab facilities being kind of making sure that it's able to help the individual get sober, there are some rehab facilities that are like private luxury places where they can have plush amenities, resort-like settings, monitoring, and they basically can provide a high quality of services that can also be very pricey. Now, most treatment facility features areas where patients can get some exercise, since physical activities may facilitate the treatment process and help individuals in treatment maintain a healthy lifestyle. But at some of these luxury addiction rehab facilities, treatment is provided using the cutting-edge techniques and often incorporates what's called a holistic therapy technique, which is beyond the variety of available treatment settings and the therapeutic approaches. And many people have questions about the length of the addiction process. I've heard individuals say that they went to places where they had to pay, it was $35,000 a month, $10,000 a month, but yet they get a chef, they get exercise, they get massages. And I mean, I don't have an addiction, but I'll be like, wow, I can get all of that if I just had a problem. But it's very costly. And you do have to also, once you learn, I look at that as kind of being like a self-care thing. So once you learn how to take care of yourself, you kind of learn how to help yourself process through what you're going through in regards to recovery. And I sure hope I find this doggone paper because it is driving me crazy. Now, when we talk about the length of addiction treatment programs, rehab is also more than overcoming a physical addiction to a substance. Even though addiction affects many areas of a person's life, and all areas should be addressed in treatment. So when you go to rehab, whether it's outpatient, whether it's inpatient, whether it's going to an AA or NA meeting, you are basically going to be finding out that it is necessary to eliminate the addictive substance from the body, but you also will be doing other necessary work as it relates to psychological aspects of addiction. So when individuals want to know how long am I going to be there, time has a lot to do with your needs and how you are assessed and what the best way for you to benefit. So I'm going to say it can vary. Now, even though we know that rehab programs that are 90 days or longer are beneficial for a number of reasons, in most cases, people who suffer from addiction need the time to cleanse their body right away, even though we know detox can be the first step of the progress recovery. We also know that a lot of individuals are not ready to do detox because we have social model detox where you go in there. You can be there 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, and you go do it cold turkey. But if you do the medical model detox, they will give you some type of anti-anxiety or give you some medication to help you with the withdrawals. I know a lot of individuals, when we talk about Suboxone, Suboxone has been one of those drugs that a lot of individuals, it's a beta blocker for the treatment of opiates, but yet I'm noticing that a lot of individuals that have a history of methamphetamine use are also using Suboxone too. When we talk about methadone maintenance, in which I indicated where a person called me and wanted to know if I provided methadone maintenance because they have a history of opiate use, and methadone is a synthetic form of opiates, which kind of helps their use of opiates to so that they can be clean and sober. But then yet some individuals have also overdosed also on methadone. So detox process is only the first step. It allows the individual to safely remove either alcoholic drugs from the body. It does not address the underlying issue of addiction. It is just to get it out of your system. And what happens a lot of times is individuals, especially family members, do not understand, if you got it out your system, why did that person leave a detox facility only to return back to doing what they were doing? And that is because the behavior didn't change. Now, when we start talking about that, and even though, like we said, while the method used to detox can vary from facility to facility, it doesn't not change the fact that time may be needed to do so or to do it properly, especially when treating addiction to substances that have a life-threatening withdrawal symptom such as alcohol or benzos. Now, longer rehab programs allow patients to take the time needed to properly stop abusing the substance, but during the detox process, a patient must be monitored to ensure that he or she remains medically and emotionally stable and is not in any danger. And like I said, sometimes individuals think, well, it's no big deal. I can stop whenever I want to. These are some of the lies that they tell themselves. But by that same token, people do die, and they can also die in recovery. Now, longer addiction rehab programs also allow patients more time to work with trained professionals to determine the most effective ways for them to understand and cope with their addiction. It takes time to explore the reason behind the addiction. And that's why when we talk about recovery, recovery is a lifelong process. Now, if you have any questions as I'm talking about this information, you can call in at 516-387-1914. Now, I know I had him on mute, but let me take him off mute. I had you on mute, so you couldn't hear, or I couldn't hear if you had any questions. Do you have any questions?
No, but I think that you're doing a beautiful job. And some people like me don't have an addictive personality because most addicts are mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah, so when you have a person that don't have a mental addiction, it's easy to cure physical. And I appreciate the knowledge that you've learned, and I'm going to hang up now, but I enjoyed
okay.
the show.
No, you don't have to hang up. You can still listen. I'm still waiting on somebody else or the other people. One person already flaked out on me, and I knew Dr. Lisa Romain said that she had something to do at her school because she also teaches classes, and I'm waiting on the other person from the detox facility. So you can brainstorm with me in regards to this because, like I said, I know that you've known a lot of individuals. I don't know back in the 60s or the 70s what type of treatment options was available, how did people get help. And I know you said that you don't have the addictive personality, but one of the things that I learned about myself is that and one of the reasons why I can relate so well to my clients is even though I did not have an addiction to substances, I learned that I do have an addictive personality. When I want something, I want it. And you're not going to stop me.
Right.
My thing was with food. So when individuals start messing with me with my food, that's a problem.
Right.
I tell a client just like the same way they feel about alcohol or crack, I may feel the same way about some hot wings. You let me go to a restaurant and they tell me they don't have what I want, I'm ready to throw a temper tantrum or I'm ready to have a fit. You know, I've never been the type of kid that would sneak food or hide food or anything like that. But I learned that I was very strong-willed. And if I did have an addiction, I was scared of crackheads. I learned that I was scared of people that had those substances because I didn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. And it took years for me to understand that it was a debilitating and chronic condition and that it not only affects both teens, but it can also affect adults. Now, what I didn't understand was how individuals would become an adult. I've met with people that said they didn't start using drugs until they was in their 40s and 50s.
Right.
A lot of individuals may have started at a very, very young age because they thought that that was the thing to do or that's what people were doing. Now, someone is calling me, and I think it is the guy from the detox. Hi, this is Jeanette.
Okay,
welcome to Love Talk Radio. Precious Predicament.
Hello?
Can I help you? Hi, this is Jeanette.
How you doing, Jeanette?
Hi, I'm doing well. What do you want to talk about in regards to this topic?
No, I want to talk to Mr. Keys.
Talk to who?
Robert.
Are you calling the right number?
I don't know
either because I don't even know who I'm talking to. But it sounds like you know who I am, but I might as well let you know you are on live radio right about now. So you want to talk to Mr. G.
Well,
Okay. Now,
yeah,
I'll put you in mute mode because I don't know what you want to share in regards to that, okay? Now, as we, like I said, that it is a debilitating condition that affects both teens and adults, and individuals who struggle with addiction, like I said, even though they are in need of treatment to get clean and sober, many don't know where to go to obtain services. Now, I was doing my research as it relates to this topic, and what I found was that a lot of treatment centers for drugs and alcohol, as we call rehabilitation facilities, as they offer this treatment, it varies length of time. They say the help, the safety, the support needed to recover and to develop those skills. Now, there's a difference when one individual say, well, I don't use drugs or alcohol anymore. But what skills have you developed? What new coping skills have you used? Did you work on those relationships that you found to be very threatening? Did you learn how to understand what they meant by people, places, and things? Were you able to develop a very strong support system? Who are you going to call when you are in trouble? You know, I can say that Friday, I had to deal with three different deaths. I had to deal with the death of my son's father. I had to deal with the death of one of my board members, Robert McCauley, and then my neighbor, I always say my stepfather's sister passed away. Now, if I had an addiction, some individuals, and then we had to deal with, I live in Oceanside, we had the fires, we had to evacuate, didn't know if my house was going to still be there when I returned yesterday. That's a lot of stress. And a lot of times individuals, like I said, they do things they use for different reasons, but what I was dealing with, that could have caused someone else to fall off the wagon. But what do you do and where can you go to try to get some help? Now, again, if you want to call in because you have some questions or you want to share what worked for you, what didn't work for you, because we're going to go transition into choosing a program, call in 516-387-1914. And I want to say I did find my paper because I was determined to find this paper. Now, choosing the right program. Many people wonder, like I said, where do I go? What are some of the questions? And even though I found that with even getting the help, there is a number you can call, which is 1-888-482-3006. This is a confidential hotline number, and it will give you some information in regards to trying to find a, well, they have specialists that can help you determine the right rehab program, the length of treatment for you or your loved one to help them get into recovery and learn a new healthy way of living. So again, 1-888-482-3006. So that is just the start. Because like I said, you have to have the determination. You have to have the desire. You have to want to sometimes step out and say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that basically lets people know that you are willing to try to get some type of help. Now, talking about, and it was interesting because I was looking at doing my homework, and I, as usual, waited till last minute. I found this website, and it was called bestcaretreatment.org. Now, when I found this website, and, you know, you can go in there and you can log on to there, and it talks about how rehab worked. It talked about, you know, that you will work with experienced counselors. And it also talks about life after rehab, because one of the things you want to do is you want to make sure that you obtain the essential components of a good treatment. But one of the things that I found that I liked about this website was they have what's called an assessment test and what to ask. Now, I want to go into the questions to ask because I know I get these phone calls all the time. Now, when you are calling individuals and you're trying to find out which or what type of treatment is going to work for you, I want the listeners to know that nobody's addiction is the same. Your success is going to depend on the extent of your addiction, the appropriateness of your treatment, the availability of additional services, and most importantly, the quality of your experience with your counselor and treatment providers. Now, it's very important, and it all goes back, like I said, to what's called a therapeutic relationship. You got to be willing, you got to be ready, and you got to be able. Now, you may not be want to get along with everybody there. You might find excuses and try to want to sabotage your treatment, but you got to remember, your treatment is your treatment. If you don't like Billy Bob or whoever got a, you share a room with, don't let him mess up what God has for you or stop you from going down your journey to become sick with your recovery process. Now, because the program, like I said, has different approach in treating addiction, you have to choose the right one for you, and that will make your recovery very successful. Now, what kind of alcohol, drugs, heroin addiction programs are available? I talked about some of the different things, and Best Care is one of them. And it looks like Best Care is located, they have facilities throughout Oregon and in other states. You want to know, does the program use treatment backed by scientific evidence? I remember I had a person call me one time, and they questioned me, and they said, I want to know how long it's going to take me how long is it going to take you to get me sober? All I could do was laugh, because I said, that depends on you. I can't stop you automatically. I can give you the skills, the tools, to teach you techniques to try to help you learn how to resolve conflicts, develop problem-solving skills, talk about your triggers, help you to determine a relapse prevention plan, but how long it's going to take is going to be up to you. So even though we talk about the scientific evidence, there are many different behavioral therapies and medications that can be used in different combinations at different stages of recovery. But unfortunately, there are also some therapies that offer promises but aren't able to back it up with results. So it's important to ask your treatment provider what methods they use to ensure the care you receive is medically sound, especially if we're talking about medication regimens or things in regards to that. Because if a person is going to an AANA meeting, your meeting is going to be a little different. I like some people go to what's called Celebrate Recovery, which, like I said, these are more or less intrusive because they're AANA. They're basically something you can do in addition to being in a program. So you want to also know, does the program tailor treatment to the needs of each patient? Because matching treatment setting programs and services to your unique issues is the key to your success. What is a comfortable setting or effective treatment for one person may be uncomfortable for another. So it is important to find an environment that feels right for you and a program broad enough in the scope that can be adapted to your unique needs. I remember when I was working with Orange County Healthcare Agency and I had to do assessments and evaluations for nonviolent drug offenders. And we had very few residential facilities. We had, well, we had to determine people's levels, whether they were level 1, 2, 3, residential or detox. And it was interesting because we had one place, and if you're in Orange County, it's called Phoenix House. And Phoenix House used a different type of technique that a lot of providers didn't use. But one of the things I knew, if a person needed more behavior modifications and worked on their behavior, I knew that that was a place for them to go. So you want to also find out, like I said, what type of method you use. You want to find out, sometimes people want to tour the building, but I always tell individuals, when you go just to look at a place, that doesn't mean that you're going to be getting what you need. So you can sit down and interview or go and take a look at the facility if they allow you to do such. But again, you got to be willing, you got to be ready, and you got to be able. Because I don't care if you got to be in a shack. If you want sobriety that bad, you're going to go where you got to get it, and you're going to have to be listening, and you're going to have to be open-minded. Another question you want to know is the cost. While becoming sober is priceless, some programs can cost many thousands of dollars. So you want to try to find out either the total cost, the weekly cost. You want to find out are they working within your insurance. So you can call your insurance provider. Your insurance provider can also be a resource in regards to providing you or sending you in the right direction if you know who are within their network. A lot of jobs have insurance that they use through EAP services. They can also link you with someone if you need residential or outpatient services or a counselor. But I want to go back to one of the things that I saw, and it had to do with taking a hit. A lot of times we tell individuals they have a drug or alcohol problem. Sometimes it can be polysubstances, meaning that they can be using more than one drug. And sometimes the treatment may vary from trying to treat someone who has an addiction to alcohol, addiction to marijuana, versus an addiction to opiates or pills, because it's different. Now, with this assessment, and it is online with bestcaretreatment.org, you can take an assessment if you feel you or someone you love might be developing a problem, or if others are telling you that you may be in trouble. With this assessment tool, they offer, it's like a variety of online tools that can be used, and you have to be honest, because when you're taking it, if you're not honest, you're not going to be able to find the right treatment modality for you. So it's very important. They have a test for alcohol screening and a test for drug screening. And that can also lead you in the right direction. Now, I can post this either on my Facebook or my Twitter account, and it can give you some information, and you can take the test yourself just to see where you score and what type of treatment would be beneficial to you. Now, I want to say being on the radio, I really don't like being on the radio by myself because I don't have nobody to talk to, and it'd be going on and on and on and on, so please forgive me if it sounds like I am babbling. I guess I can check my email and see if anyone is contacting me on Facebook or if they have any questions, because I know a lot of times individuals are very shy and they don't want to talk. So let me check this. Okay. I'm looking at something where somebody sent me a question, and one of their questions is, I have a teenager, and she is 15 years old, and she's addicted to or smokes marijuana. What can I do? Now, I did a radio show several months ago, and we talked about teens, tweens, and marijuana use. And we were, and in, on that show, I indicated how marijuana is not what it used to be. And a lot of times individuals would say, I don't have a problem with my kids smoking marijuana as long as they're not using methamphetamine or some type of hard type of drugs. And we talked about how the THC level varies in marijuana. We talk about how individuals try to justify it. So I want to say to this person that sent me this email is, talk to your teen. Find out, are they smoking because of peer pressure? Find out, are they exhibiting some type of other type of behavior problem? And let them know that sometimes marijuana can be the gateway to other type of drug use in regards to marijuana and alcohol. And education, education, education. So you want to educate them about it. You don't want to preach. You don't want to give them no long war story because they don't want to hear that. Or you could either take them to a meeting, or take them to or contact a facility that specializes in working with children. Now, I know in Oceanside, there's quite a few places, and there is a person that is also in my area. I believe hers is True Freedom Recovery, and you can find her in Oceanside. Her address is at 3355 Mission Avenue, and she do work with teens that have substance. So you want to make sure that you get her some help, have her talk to someone, because you don't want the addiction to grow into something else or have her to justify or minimize her use. And I want to say, as a parent, I want to thank you, because a lot of parents are in denial and they don't want to talk about their children as they may exhibit certain type of drug or alcohol use because they feel that it's a reflection on their parenting. But I always say, if you don't parent your child, somebody else will. So you want to make sure you try to get her the best help that you can. Now, talking about the less intrusive when we talk about AANA meetings, I find it interesting because I'm online and there's a place called newbeginningdrugrehab.org. And they talk about the concept of, when we talk about AA, we always think about the 12-step approach. A lot of times individuals say, well, it's a cult, or I don't believe in God, or they try to find other ways of talking about where they don't want to do the 12-step philosophy. Now, with this concept of non-12-step drug program that I found, they indicate the differences between the non-traditional rehab versus the traditional rehab. Now, even though we know that there are countless rehab options available, it is understandable that individuals can feel so overwhelmed. So if individuals are starting to feel overwhelmed, what they can do is they can do some research. When you do your research, it will help you to quickly find out if there is an increasingly large group of recovery professionals who support alternative recovery options. Because when faced with choices whether to enroll in an alternative non-traditional program or 12-step traditional program, many individuals want to know what are the major benefits of opting to the new alternative treatment. Is there a major difference in overall success rate? Is there a difference in approach? And what should one expect? So I'm going to give you some information. Now, they indicate that with the non-12-step, it is different because this is the largest, one of the largest differences is that they came across between the two approaches is the fact that the 12-step program sees dependence on drugs or alcohol as a primary problem. This means that according to the traditional approach, the problem stems forth from addiction. So you have to address that issue and the patient can start recovery, meaning let's talk about your dependence. Meanwhile, the non-traditional treatment option look at recovery in a different light. They believe that dependence plays an important role in the issue, but that there are also underlying issues that have to be addressed. So the big difference is the perception of what actually constitutes treatment. And they can elaborate the difference by giving individuals what they call the medical analogy. Another thing that is different is the motivation. Now, even though with motivation, the underlying approach is not the only thing that is different. When we talk about the 12-step approach, they look at individuals emphasize the need for a higher power and promote acceptance of subjection to addiction. When you hear that, many individuals start asking themselves, where does your personal responsibility factor lie in here? The truth is that accepting that you are powerless means taking personal responsibility out of the equation. But because you are suggesting it is not up to the individual whether they succeed or not, meanwhile, the non-traditional facilities do the exact opposite. They try to find ways to empower the client to let them know that if they ever want to make a change in their life, it has to come from them, which is one of the things that we talk about when we talk about whether a person having a drug or alcohol problem is a choice, whether it is a habit, whether it is something that is hereditary. A lot of those things play a part. But again, you have to find out what or how it applies to you. So one of the things that they do by empowering the individual, they offer change, help, and support. It means that the patient has to come up with their own intrinsic motivation to find something that can help them overcome dependence. Sometimes this can push people further than they expect it to be, or they may get uncomfortable. However, ultimately, what matters is whether the patient has an intrinsic motivation to make lasting change. If not, everything done in therapy or recovery is only temporary. Because the second the patient is unsupervised, they will return to their old ways. And that's why I believe a lot of times individuals want to know, do rehab really work? Is sobriety real? Can individuals really recover and stay sober? But it depends on them. Now, as I'm looking at this, they have what's called an ultimate treatment plan. They have a plan A or a plan B. So if you go through the basic stages of the traditional 12-step plan, you may begin to notice that you may feel inflexible, and individuals do go through the same procedures and are expected to make improvements following that same step. But if the user does not improve at the expected pace or has a setback, the program is never to blame. Considering many of its followers consider the 12-step program to be infallible, because blaming the patient, a person who is already feeling sad and what they have this disillusion because of their struggles, is not only going to push them further away from recovery, it will sometimes, as we know, take a moment for them to imagine how jaded, and I want you to think of, you would feel if someone told you you didn't put forth the effort. So if you are interested in learning more about the non-traditional and you want to get help, you can call 855-338-6585. And they can also talk to you about ways to find the perfect method. They can talk about or talk to you about the expansive options, because each recovery option offers what they call is the first care view that you select, and it is also confidential. And like I said, sometimes individuals will opt out of the 12-step drug program, because when compared to the 12-step approach, the alternative drug rehab centers throughout the nation, they talk about this large success rate. Many of these programs use long-term inpatient treatments, but we want to make sure you find the right option, the right plan. Again, if you want to call in, give me a call at 516-387-1914, because recovery starts with you. You have to be willing to get help. You have to basically be willing to want to reach out to someone and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, because I said before, when we did our show last week, people's rock bottom varies. What works for one person may not work for another person. So we want to make sure that we, you know, get people set up with the right people, places, so that they can basically find out what they, gather the tools that they need in order to be successful. Now, I'm getting kind of sick, I guess, because my nose is getting stopped up. My throat is hurting. My mouth is dry. So bear with me. We got 12 minutes left on the show. Again, if you want to call in, you can give me a call at 516-387-1914. I haven't received any text messages from my daughter telling me that I'm talking too loud or talking too much. So that's a good thing. Now, when we talk about in understanding addiction treatment program, we talked about the length. We talked about how long in regards to some of the rehabs are. We talked about whether an individual is doing a AANA meetings. And like I said, we have the traditional AA 12 steps. We have the non-traditional, which I just talked about. And then we also have what's called Celebrate Recovery. With Celebrate Recovery, individuals talk about hurts, habits, and hang-ups. They still kind of use the 12-step philosophy. And I'm also finding that these facilities are growing, and you will also find them more in a church or a faith-based setting. Because a lot of times individuals say, well, I'll just go to church. I'll pray on it. But I want to say people are using drugs and getting drunk in the churches too. And a lot of times the church don't know what to do when it comes to a lot of these types of behaviors. So one of the things that people have been doing is educating individuals within ministry to try to help them to be able to identify addiction, addictive behaviors. And also it's they find that also some of the church or faith-based communities are also developing their own rehab facilities, sober living homes, to try to help not only individuals within their congregation, but also individuals within the community. You can call 211. If you want some information regarding places in your area, and some individuals say, well, what's the difference between 211 and 411? 211 is actually InfoLink, so you can give them a call, and they can also, like I said, guide you in the right direction. Now, and as we're ending the show, and we have a few minutes left, someone is calling me. Give me 1 second. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Hi, this is Jeanette. Do you have any questions for me? Okay, now you don't want to say nothing. Okay.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you doing?
Oh, okay, then. I didn't know that you could hear me. I was going to say, I enjoyed your show, and you are correct, recovery. If the person doesn't want to recover, no matter what you try to do for them, it's going to fail until they
correct.
Finally accept the fact that they need to change their life or whatnot.
Correct. And, you know, and a lot of times when you're dealing with teenagers or young adults, they could be the most resistant to treatment because they think they know everything or they think everybody is doing it. And then a lot of times if parents have a history of some type of substance use, they try to throw it back up in the parents' face. And you try to tell them, you know what, it's not what I did. I'm trying to help you better yourself so you don't fall down that same hole that I did, because they like using that as an excuse. And
that is correct.
And
I
it don't
that,
you can
I found that when I'll hear something, well, you did this or your friends do this or something like that, I'm like, look, I'm trying to teach you to learn from my mistakes so you can better yourself instead of, like you're saying, falling the same pothole that I fell in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, if you don't explain that to your children or whatnot, they'll think it's something that, you know, well, it's all right because this person was doing it or whatnot. And then when you start talking to them about it, they feel, well, you're a hypocrite because blah, 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 it happened years ago or whatnot, or I seen you doing this, or you may still be doing it or whatnot. I'm like, look, if you learn from my lesson, you will better yourself. But if not, you will fall down the hole and make your life more difficult yourself instead of using my wisdom and from my years of living for your advantage.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. You know I know who you are, but you know, it's interesting because as I'm on this website, and it's recovery.org, and I'm looking at this, and it says, and it talks about addiction and recovery guide to specific groups. They talk about alcohol drug recovery programs. They talk about drug abuse and athletes. You know, because a lot of athletes deal with drug and alcohol use. A lot of individuals in the music industry deal with drug and alcohol use. They got drug use at clubs and raves. They got drug use at music festivals. They got drug use in religion. And I'm looking at something that talks about famous alcoholics, famous cocaine addicts, famous drug addicts, famous heroin addicts, famous marijuana addicts. Even the guide to U.S. drug laws, because even though we start talking about the legalization of marijuana, which is a big topic, especially in California, and a lot of individuals are not taking it seriously, but if you are at risk of addiction, you need to be careful with what you're playing with, because that's like playing with fire. Now, when individuals go especially to an outpatient program, our residential drug program, and it says, what will it include? It includes a variety of things. But the program intake is very important. And the intake is important because once you've admitted or have been admitted to the program and given an assessment, the staff of the treatment facility will take down your medical history because that's important. You want to make sure that the person, if they're pregnant, you want to know if they have a history of seizures. You want to know if they're duly diagnosed. You need to know who this person is. You need to know if they have tuberculosis or any other type of life-threatening illness. And it's interesting because a lot of times, especially with intravenous drug users or individuals that are pregnant, there's so much help out there for individuals. Even individuals that are HIV positive, they have their own community of program services to help individuals. So no one will be denied services. You just have to find the right service for you. So after they take down your medical history, they evaluate the nature and severity of your addiction as well as your mental state, and they recommend the appropriate treatment plan for you. A lot of times individuals are in denial because they don't want to hear it. They don't believe that they have a problem. Now, when you start talking about the detoxification, which we talked about, and sometimes detox can take between 3 to 14 days, and basically in some cases they look at the length of or what type of treatment you've used. When we start talking about what is involved, depending on your program, additional treatment steps can include what's called cognitive behavioral therapy. They can do what's called a medically assisted treatment to find out if there's a co-occurring issue. They give you a regular scheduled counseling, and it's interesting, and I want to say it. I don't want to say your name out because I want you, you didn't say your name at first. But sometimes individuals have never been on a schedule until they go into rehab. They know what time they have to get up. They know what time they have to be where they have to be. That is a time that they have to learn to take responsibility for their own life. And what happens is it takes a certain amount of time to develop a habit. It takes a certain amount of time to stop a habit. And then now you have to recreate a whole new lifestyle. Now, you want to know which programs are the most successful, like what I'm looking at? It says both National Institute on Drug Abuse and the Center for the Disease Control advise that people who wish to have a successful recovery should enroll in a program that is at least 90 days in length, meaning give it 90 days. They also indicate that, and they cite that the length of the most important indicators are not whether or not the substance of rehab recovery will be successful, but they want to know what changes, because you got to remember, drugs and alcohol affect your brain and the way your brain works. So part of the brain that relates to feelings or rewards and motivation is going to be important. The part of the brain is integral of learning and memory, and the region of the brain that is responsible for controlling the behavior, because you have to change your behavior. Now, there are some essential components to good treatment. You want to make sure that the treatment of recovery, as long as the term process that involves a variety of approaches, you want to, like I said, look at the physical mental health issues. You want to know which one is best for you. And you also want to know what happens after rehab. Now, we have only 3 minutes left on the show. Do you have any questions?
One thing I feel that recovery, one thing that makes it hard, the people have to be, you have to motivate the people to want to get help and to look for help. Sometimes the first door they open, if they're turned away, it stops their momentum, or either they let that stop them from continuing to trying to get help. That's one of, I believe, first step is one of the hardest steps to take in the step of recovery.
Correct. And, you know, we talked a lot about that last week because we had some providers on the line, and we were talking about how you treat people, because they feel that people have an attitude. They think people, all they want is my money, that these people were mean to me. And a lot of times individuals feel like they don't want to hear my story, or they feel like they're being judged, or that they're going to be ridiculed. And that's not what it's about. It's really about them. But what happens is we cannot allow individuals to get into this pity party or this poor me or blame it on someone else, because we try to teach accountability as well as responsibility. But individuals will be treated and should be treated with respect and dignity, because if not, all programs are being held accountable, because they're either monitored by either probation departments. They are, if they are state certified, you can find out the certification board that they are licensed under. You can file a complaint if you have a concern about the treatment that you have received at a facility, because they have what's called patients' rights. So patients do have rights. So even if a person, like I said, if you want something bad enough, you're going to go after it no matter who is trying to block you from that. Because sometimes that can be used against you. Well, they didn't care, or they wouldn't let me in. If that place is full, call another place. You know, find some place to go, or even if you have to detox in your own home, which can be very dangerous, but by that same token, you have to make sure that you are aware of your people, places, and things, and knowing your triggers and your cravings. Now, we have only 1 minute left on the show, so I want to thank you for being on the phone with me, because my daddy kind of hung up on me after a while. I guess he didn't want to keep talking because he wanted me to pick his brain, because I know he know a whole lot about this topic. And so I'm going to thank you for calling
about that.
You know, we know who that was, but that's okay. And you know what? And, you know, keep Samantha in prayer, because she was in the hospital as well as my cousin James. So they couldn't call in, because, you know, I got a family history of people that use drugs and alcohol. So when I start talking about this subject, they try to alienate or ostracize me, because they'd be like, she going to tell all my business. So I'm not going to do that. But since we're talking about family, Christmas is coming up. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to let go of a family. Now, that's going to be an interesting topic, because family going to have to be together for the holidays. We got to let go of some of these grudges. We got to learn how to forgive. No, you may not forget, but how to let go of a family grudge. Thank you for listening and joining me here at Precious Predicament Radio. Until next week, remember, you got this. If you want to call in next week, 516-387-1914. Have a blessed and prosperous week. Thank you.
You do the same, ma'am. And my name is Daron Hamilton. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.